when Mevlana Jalaluddin Rumi, may Allah bless his soul, with more and more love and illumination and nearness, it was whirling. And someone came and said, "Oh, it's a call to prayer. It's a call to prayer." I said, "What do you think I'm doing? I'm praying." Alhamdulillah. Yeah. In fact, I remember with Effendi, you probably do too, Medina, that, you know, when you were sitting with Effendi, there was such ashk and such plenitude and, you know, paradise nature. When the call to prayer came, it was awful because it felt like separation. I remember I did not like to get up and pray, you know, because we were so close, and it was already, you were in the essence of prayer right there. So amazing. Alhamdulillah. But, you know, that's where, I guess, we follow the call. Only that call could get you out of that state, because the call is so beautiful itself. Yeah. So, I mean, lovers just go either from union to union or separation to separation. I mean, every state is another kind of union or another kind of separation, depending on your point of view. Alhamdulillah. But this is our, I mean, this is the community of love. I mean, this is where we are nourished from. This is where we live from, you know. And alhamdulillah that this exists. This is where the wine of love flows. It flows in our coming together. So the Saki, you know, the great Ashki, or the great Nuruddin, or alhamdulillah, the great Noor, they are the Sakis. The Saki is constantly pouring in our community, but especially on the Ramadan nights. I think there are 300 years between Hazreti Pir and today, you know, and Noor. In fact, I remember that was brought up sometimes, you know, as much as there was resistance to Noor, also sometimes they couldn't help but see his light, you know. And I remember Sef Effendi once saying that, yeah, he didn't quite compare him to Hazreti Pir, but to one of the past peers, and 300 years ago, but it must have been very close to the peer's time. So, you know, there are these cycles of time, of Allah's time, like breaths. These are the breaths, and it sends these saints, these beautiful beings. So the 300 years, you know, or is it the next 300 years? That's actually what I feel in the dream. It refers to the next 300 years. Because in the next 300 years, I think that's what my dream was. You know, I wrote it down somewhere, but because now it's getting a little faded, but there was Hazreti Pir, but seeing him in a line, I've told this dream many times, but I'll repeat again tonight. And, but he was, and I guess he was the beginning of this line, of the branch of Jarahiyya. And then, kind of halfway through, there were these two and peers, they were called, back to back. And then there was another 300 years. That's interesting. And it said in another, and the two peers, you know, were, to me, it was self-evident, it was Effendi and Noor. Because it would said 300 years. And then it said in another 300 years would come another peer, you know, like a kind of another peer. So it was very interesting. So maybe that is. It's the 300 years from now to... So alhamdulillah, may we all be counted in the 2500. Ameen.
And also, before we pass the day, maybe you can talk about it more. He said all my teachings are in the Alayas.
Yeah, that's true. Well, he said in his books and in the Alayas, yes.
In the Alayas.
He said that people ask for his teaching to write.
Yeah. His mystic teachings.
All my mystic teachings.
Yeah. But he said in his writings too, and in the Alahis, yeah. In the Alahis. And Effendi always said, he said, Alahis are Quran. That's why dervishes, you know, it's very interesting. They're not, they have it all. They have the nectar. It's like instead of taking, going in the fields and you know, eating a lot of chamomile or something like that, you just take the little bottle of essence and you take, you know, 3 drops of chamomile essence and you have it. And in the way, that's what the tariqas are. They're the distillation of the tradition, of the knowledge and And so it is easier, and it's much easier. And the only thing asked of us really is that our hearts be aligned, and that, you know, certainly, and they can only be aligned if they are in a humble state, in an open state, in sincerity. And so that's the work, really, to attain that state. And you work very hard till you attain that state, and then, you know, you go on suffering.
in different ways.
Yeah. But it's a mixture of, as we were saying last night, between ecstasy and pain, the pendulum that Ali was talking about. Yeah, Ali.
I think that one of the times that we really can sing, when we are truly single.
Yeah, when we don't think, you say.
We can't.
Yeah.
When we and it's like when we give ourselves to singing, it's like we are so open.
Yeah.
Just check and see.
It's true. So it's a spiritual cleansing. I mean, singing, it cleanses. Singing these lines is a total purification of
the
our
mind completely stops.
Soul. Yeah, that's true.
Shika,
yeah?
I was just thinking what a wonderful blessing it is that the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, that he brought a tradition which can give you the same maqam. You can live in the world, get married,
amazing.
Do business, but live like an ascetic.
It's true. Or like a lover, even better than an ascetic. Yes, it's true. It's amazing. You mean have the station of it, as though you were an ascetic. Yeah, that's true. Alhamdulillah. That's true. That's only his blessing, and which is ultimately his blessing is simply Allah's rahmat. That's what he is. His reality is Allah's rahmat, Allah's mercy. So Allah sent his own mercy to humanity in completely unveiled. And I mean, of course, it's never completely unveiled in the sense that we still have to find it and we still have to unveil it, but unveiled in the sense that the potential is fully there for every human being to, you know, follow me, and Allah will love you and forgive you. So, you know, alhamdulillah. Yeah, mashallah.
By the way, that now that you said
we're
learning everything from Miss Elahi, I've been reading in a different light.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? It's amazing.
I was like, this is incredible.
Yeah.
You know, I know, I'm
ready for the diplomas now.
Yeah.
Here. Because you said that, so it suddenly came in the whole
Powerful. I mean, you know who this is? Ansari, actually, Noor. But as he did often, Noor would work with these great masters, you know, and then again take essential things. But this is fairly close to Ansari, the original, and that's what he said. He, in his book, he attributes it to Ansari. But somehow Noor put things in a way that it just didn't sound the same. Yeah.
I realized the story that Mohsen said the other night of Uwais Al-Qarani. The whole entire story is one of our lives.
Right.
And we've sang it so many
times,
but now
I know.
Whole story told so beautifully in
it
one
is.
Song.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing? Mm-hmm. Oh, the reason I brought actually Jamal Noor up is because he had a dream. This was when he was here at the time, that Haji Bairam Wali asked to be mentioned more. Put him in the silsila, and so the saints want to be mentioned. And in the very early days after Noor passed, I had a dream that Muhammad Shan Naqshband wanted to be in the silsila, mentioned in the zikr. So he's So yes, I think the saints love to be, of course, called
upon.
Dream
of Bayezid Bastami.
Yes, what did you dream?
Well, I'm terrible with my own dream. It's something like, you know, call upon me.
Okay, beautiful.
So
beautiful.
Yeah.
Bayezid Bastami. Yeah, he's beautiful.
I mean, it was more like call upon me for help. But, you know, then,
yeah,
you know,
but
call up, I guess.
Yeah.
That's also part
we need help all the time. but call, especially for the zikr, you know, in the that, because that calling the saints is what gives us also the himmah and gives us that spiritual radiance.
Gives them the opportunity to serve, which I'm sure they still long for.
Oh, that's true. That's a good point.
Beautiful.
That's a beautiful. Thank you.
So.
Yeah, that's true. The opportunity to serve. They long to. In fact, they do. You know, they're all contained in Mustafa. That's true. And the, all the saints are contained in, you know, Effendi Noor and Hazreti Pir. I mean, Hazreti Pir representing, you know, the saints of the past. He's in the modern time. He's in the threshold of modernity. But he represents that whole body of peers, great peers. And Effendi is indescribable. And, you know, I guess you could say a contemporary. Effendi was so unique, so extraordinary. The last, you know, the key of the Ottoman Empire brought to the U.S., brought to America, and then not to the key to the Ottoman Empire, but the Ottoman Empire as caliph, you know, as holding the caliphate of the Prophet. And so Effendi brought that here, inshallah, and Sheikh Noor took it up in a royal way and represents, you know, humanity of the future and how everything's going to look so different. I mean, it's going to be amazing, you know. You can feel it already, the humanity of the future coming from this light and coming from this nectar of prophecy. It's so amazing. You know, that, I mean, one of the things that a tariqat is also a, you know, it's not just a place to come to be intoxicated, but it's also a place to have unveilings. And one of the great unveilings is that what we receive from each other, what, you know, each of us can share. And it's so amazing because you realize what a, you know, bottomless well or a ocean without shores each of us is. And somehow the tariqat, it just lets the light of God shine through, so that that comes through. That's really what it is. So we share that too. Alhamdulillah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yesterday, Sheikh, in the zikr, the standing zikr, I felt a very strong visitation of Sheikh Muzaffar.
You did.
And,
Alhamdulillah.
Along with Sheikh Noor.
Really, Alhamdulillah.
And,
good. Yeah, I feel they're guiding the zikr, but it's beautiful when they come with such obvious, you know, presence. Otherwise, it wouldn't really be that unique night of power, which is hidden.
Yeah.
If it couldn't appear, you know, just like Allah would not be Allah, if Allah could not take, you know, someone who's never done anything good in their life, as it says on the final day, and take them out of that darkness. And only that's only left to the divine power. It says, after all the saints and friends and family members and everyone else will intercede, and the Prophet of Mercy himself, the intercessor for all intercessors, will intercede, peace be upon him, then Allah will step forward. So that defines almost that, you know, Allah's, who Allah is, can do this, the impossible, let's say. So for the night of power too, you know, that it can appear on any night. And that gives us its particular divine capacity, just like Allah's capacity to do anything, to appear anywhere in any form, outside of, completely outside of the pattern. So the night of power, yeah, he said that it can appear on even nights, Adna, he's seen it on even nights in the Ramadan, on other nights in the Ramadan, not just in the last 10 nights. He's seen it at other times of year appear. So, and then I think Khalil Baba said, yes, that he knew of one year when it was on the night of Tawbah, which is a powerful night, of course. So that must have been an amazing night, be both the 15th of Shaban and the night of power.
No.
Wow, yeah. Alhamdulillah. Mohsin.
In Effendi's time, did Effendi know, would he announce this is the...
Yeah, he would know.
He would know, he would say.
He would, well, you know, he'd share probably with him. I mean, you know, I don't recall personally hearing from his lips that, but those night of powers, that was like true every night of power with him, you know, whether it was designated or not, every last 10 days of the Ramadan. That's usually when we go. We go in the second week of Ramadan for the second half and to Istanbul. And we're so powerful that... but
really
I'm sure
intense.
He would know. Yeah, he would know. What?
I said that must have been really intense.
Very intense. Oh my God, you can't imagine the Tekka and the... But, you know, it was so full of light and it was amazing. And going back to our hotel room, which was hot, and it was at this time of year, it was August in Istanbul. You know, that was when we all first kind of went to Sheikh Noor, when first met Effendi, and his first Ramadan there was in August. I can't remember exactly what date, but it was an August Ramadan. And so it was all sweating and hot, but didn't matter at all. It's amazing. Everything was just transformed. It's so interesting how you could, you know, you were not pulled down by these earthly things. They became almost, they just became beautiful and signs of paradise itself. The amazing.
Yeah. You know, the other time we were in Trambi Mera, he was saying about Malik Yomidin.
Yeah.
He was saying that Malik Yomidin, the last day, is every time you recite Fatiha and say Malik Yomidin, secretly, constantly, that the last day is flowing to us, lower world.
Beautiful.
And that causes our heart to see the things that we have done wrong. And if we just go deeper and deeper and we see cause of it, and that causes us to turn, and that turn erases it.
Wow,
so
that's
so
beautiful.
I feel the same way about Night of Power.
Yeah.
The Night of Power constantly, secretly
flowing. Yeah, that's the
truth. Secretly flowing.
Right, right.
And if
true.
Do not grab
it.
Yeah, just it's one night.
Fall deeper and deeper and deeper. Then you can experience that because that's the Rahman.
That's true.
Rahman.
That's true. That's
because
true.
Because Allah, by just staying as Allah, His creation would be impossible.
Yeah.
Because of Rahman, His creation is possible.
That's true.
And the other thing is that I love to talk about Sheikh Nur.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came here first, I didn't meet Effendi. So, and I was so enamored by Sheikh Nur, he really changed my life. Really did. And then there were a lot of people that constantly talked about Effendi. And then all of a sudden what I realized was that that caused me to move away from Sheikh Nur. And I said, and the feeling of regret, I missed it. And that put me in such a situation, and as if I didn't want to be here. And then I think that sometimes, then when I realized that one day Sheikh Nur was just gazing at me, all of a sudden I realized Effendi is sitting here. It's not his physical body, and he's probably more alive and more free than when he was alive. And that's why Sheikh Nur would call the principle of the Sheikh. He said, there's nothing to do with me. And I feel that sometimes we talk about Sheikh Nur and Effendi so much. I feel that in the new dervishes, it might create this thing that I missed it. And that, it gets the movement of the mind to deny what's already present. Through you.
That's true.
Important to everyone to hold you in their heart because you're the doorway.
Yeah.
For all of us.
Yeah. And I feel they do.
In your heart.
Yeah.
Because for us, you're the living experience. I cannot nourish by the breath that I took yesterday or this morning. I can only be nourished by the breath I'm taking.
True.
And if I think about yesterday, I will miss the breath.
Right. But it's not, I don't feel, let's say, by contemplating, by steeping in their stories, in their presence, in, you know, their teachings, that we're, I mean, I'm going away from what's present.
Anyway, they're here anyway.
Yeah, they're here.
I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying that having the awareness, if there is any sense that
That you miss something. Well, also, because the tariqat reality is that you never miss anything. You know, it's like, that's why it's the ultimate mercy, is that we don't miss, because in the realm of the spirit, simply tariqat introduces you to the realm of the haq, of the spirit, you know. And in the spirit, they're all alive. They're all present and living, and so eventually every dervish encounters directly Nur and Effendi and Hazreti Pir and inshallah Rasulullah, peace be upon him, and all the prophets that, you know, everyone you really long to meet, and somehow your own spiritual constitution is inclined to. So, alhamdulillah, yeah. But sure, alhamdulillah. Yeah, but it's very important to for the present one, especially, you know, to just bow down. I mean, because otherwise, I mean, you know, no one should be claiming anything for themselves anyway. That's part of the teaching that we teach, that it is Allah alone, you know, who is doing everything and inspiring us even for our own longing and everything. So, you know, where is there to claim anything? And but and this is why adab is so essential in tariqah. It's the teaching, basically. It's adab. And adab is on the outer levels, but those are meant to really, you know, illumine the inner levels of adab. And the ultimate adab is to say, you alone, Allah. But to know that there is, of course, that Allah is also here. You know, it's not just transcendent. That doesn't mean Allah in the transcendent solely way. And so that's taught in interpersonal relationships in the tariqat through the relation to the sheikh, what Dharma was talking about last night, certainly, yeah. But ultimately, it's for Allah, you know, that we have that regard. It's not for, certainly, a personality or anything like that. Because, you know, honestly, I mean, really, I just feel like, you know, what's it called, that doorkeeper, you just sit there at the door, and it's all about Effendi and Nur and Hazreti Pir and this tariqat, and even more, Effendi and Nur. I mean, they are the ones moving this tariqat, and that's a secret, you know, it's them. Actively bringing people, bringing dervish souls, you know, and guiding from within and providing. It's Hazreti Pir has given them that. Because, I mean, very interesting. The peer is in he's in such a high place. It's like a star that we don't even see so often. You know, it's said that people don't. It's said that at the time of Effendi, that you don't dream much of the peer. I mean, sometimes you know, it's rare. So he's almost like a star that's so far out there and so, you know, he's emerged in the divine radiance that he transmits to Musafir Effendi. Musafir Effendi is the one who's like the peer. That's why I can freely call him a peer. He is the peer of the, you know, of this new age of our tariqat. And Noor's place in that is, you know, Noor is just bewildering. He's like, I don't know. He's the peer of the new humanity. That's why that name came, because he's calling all these souls to beyond religion, you know, to worship, you know, or to recognize God. And he's such a high arif, you know, such a high arif. And so for souls to come into contemplation and to that deep level of mystic reality, you know, that was his life. His life was about that. And he did not intentionally go to the different traditions. He said that. It was like a mission given to him, you know. And as he said, it was like carrying 5 watermelons. It wasn't easy. And couldn't do it all at the same time. He didn't carry them all really at the same time. But why? Because he, whatever it was in his own soul or, you know, heart, that he was divinely, he was God's expression, or he is God's expression of that state of, you know, the ultimate oneness of that primordial light that he would love to talk about before it comes through the prism and of the different traditions, you know. So that's where Noor draws us to, and which is where the Prophet is also. You know, that's where the Prophet's teaching is also there. But we don't necessarily, as he said, as soon as an ocean, so you take of it what you will. So, you know, you take of it different aspects. But if we really follow his inner teachings, they go right there to the highest level of, you know, divine realization, but always within the how would you say, within the adab of the ishq and the adab of that love. So it's never something abstract, as you might find sometimes in traditions, you know, like an abstract knowledge. It's not. It's all through the love, and that's how we advance. We advance through love and longing. But we can, our soul can long also for mystic knowledge, but it's that longing itself is then that love, that we love to know God and love to, you know, that almost impossible reality of maybe we can't know God, but we love to be drawn nearer and nearer and nearer and have, you know, disappear into each realization, inshallah. I mean, right now I feel I'm speaking way beyond my own realization, but I'm talking more by looking at Noor, some of his teachings. So, alhamdulillah. But Effendi was such a powerful one. He was the Aziz, he was the friend of Abdul Qadir Gaylani, so he had that power. Someone described him who saw his like aura through, it was one of these, you know, healers or something, and they were trying to heal someone, and they were like,
oh my God.
Oh my God. They said, it's like an atom bomb in your in your aura. So, you know, he has the power to stabilize this tariqat and to hold it, you know, inshallah, until the next 300 years or something.
Yeah, I just want to,
yeah,
because as you're talking,
yeah,
I just listened on the in the spirit interview,
uh-huh,
recently,
with Noor
Effendi.
Oh.
I guess it was one of those early ones, but they,
yeah,
didn't really know each other so,
uh-huh,
well yet, you know.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it was the first one.
Okay, yeah.
But maybe it was even the first one. It was amazing because I think it could have been the first one, but
mm-hmm,
I wasn't sure. So I didn't look if my thing was messed up, my iPhone, whatever it is. And it was so wonderful. Effendi was telling the story of this, you know, this sheikh that looks like a poor beggar,
mm-hmm,
and the authorities, you know,
mm-hmm,
just don't recognize him.
Mm-hmm.
You know the story.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he tells how he has one dervish,
mm-hmm,
this one dervish. And then it was amazing how Noor then said to him at the end. He said, you know, just see New York City as, because it's given this tattered house,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
as this tattered house, and
mm-hmm,
we and everyone listening,
mm-hmm, yeah,
and everyone in the city is that,
mm-hmm,
one dervish.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Noor's
wow,
it's just reminding,
yeah,
me of Noor's capacity for interpretation.
Yeah. Right.
Because I was just like, wow, you know, this is,
yeah,
a great interpretation,
right,
you know, of the,
yeah,
story into the present moment,
right,
into the modern time.
Right. Right.
And it just
and
blew
then
my
to,
mind,
the,
really,
yeah,
you know, to listen to. I mean, I'd listened to it for some reason, you know, when you listen,
right,
again sometimes.
Right, right.
So, and Effendi was laughing. It was so sweet. He said, et voilà. But he was so touched, you could,
yeah,
tell, you know, at this kind
and
of image. And then this vision he had, you know, right now, because he made Effendi repeat La ilaha illallah three times.
That's the
but
first.
It was that thing. Well, you knew it wasn't something he had known, you know, that,
right,
you say it three times and then, you know,
right,
it's,
right,
it was just natural.
Revealed.
Oh, could you please repeat one more time?
Yeah,
could you,
right,
please repeat it one more time? One,
yeah,
more time.
Yeah.
And it was the three times.
Yeah.
And then he said, now we're all holding hands, the entire, you know, everyone listening,
right,
the entire music with one big zikr circle.
Right.
It's just, you know.
That's,
yeah,
the,
that's
that
the
was
first,
the first,
one. First interview. Yeah.
And it just was like, you know,
no,
his,
no, no,
level of,
yeah,
interpretation.
My God.
And the capacity,
yeah,
to interpret, to be that,
yeah,
tarjuman, you know, that,
yeah,
realizing what Effendi truly was saying.
Yeah.
And
but
bringing it
outside
it
of a
out,
limited context,
yes,
into this vast arena,
yeah,
yeah, of this
so
new time.
So beautiful.
So beautiful.
And that communication,
yeah,
that communion between,
yeah,
each, I mean,
oh my
you
God,
know.
that's, I mean, they're
like a blazing
coming
light.
Together, created a new light. It's like Shems and Mevlana.
Because, you know, sometimes I think the translation couldn't be what Effendi said. I always used to feel that awesome.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, Effendi said all these things, and then the translation is like, bop, bop. You know, and I'm like, wait a minute, you know. But somehow Noor would get
it.
And they would
just
communicate.
Yeah.
And you couldn't stop it. Like, you would think, wait, this is not what Effendi said. And I even understand some of the Turkish words. Still, I think this is not what he said.
Yeah,
exactly. You know,
yeah.
And then Noor, but Noor would always know what he said.
Yeah,
you know, and it wasn't like he spoke any Turkish. If any, spoke no English at the time.
Right,
you know, it
was
like amazing.
Right, it was heart to heart completely.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there was no way that the English translation was actually doing justice to either one of them. You know, or the back into Turkish. You know?
Right. Right.
But there was another thing totally.
Yeah, totally. My God. You're right, it couldn't be stopped. I think it can't be stopped. I mean, that's why I feel their coming together brought a whole new path almost, you know, just like Shems and Mevlana brought the Mevlevi path, brought, you know, so there's no question that it's a whole new ray of divine light coming from the two of them coming together. It's so interesting. It takes two, you know, to make that. I mean, his great sheikh and the sheikh's great dervish. So, yeah.
As Medina was saying that today, it reminded me, I remember I had this dream that I told you about a number of years ago. Actually, it wasn't a dream, it was during the zikr shortly after the Colorado retreat. And I saw Effendi in the zikr, and he was writing, and Sheikh Noor was writing, and he was writing in like calligraphy, he was writing the entire Quran on Sheikh Noor's heart.
Oh,
and out of Sheikh Noor's voice, the Quran was coming up through his voice.
Oh my
God. But Effendi was writing
on
his heart.
Wow. Muslim. Well, this, I mean, we should record this because this is such a. You envisioned, you know, what happened, really, because that's. In a sense, what happened? He passed on the transmission of Quran to Noor, you know. And I remember once we were sitting in a bookstore. It was, you know, it was the bookstore that someone in the Spring Valley, I think Tariqat, or it was called Noor Carpets, or maybe it was a carpet shop. It was a carpet shop. And Effendi told the dream in which the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, reached out of his tomb and gave him a Quran. And Noor burst into tears at that moment, you know, hearing that dream. So the Prophet gave the Quran to Muzaffar Effendi. It was Effendi's dream. And, I mean, Effendi had powerful dreams with the Prophet. I'll tell another one right now since we're on the subject, but just Noor's, I think I was sitting next to Noor's, I'm just close, or just seeing his that spontaneous, like it hit him so profoundly, you know. And so it's very interesting that, I mean, Noor's love of the Quran was immense, but as you say, he was the translator for us of the Quran. But another dream of Muzaffar Effendi with the Prophet was that they were in his mosque. I mean, Effendi was in the Prophet's mosque in Medina, and he's way in the back, and there are lots of people. It's very crowded. And he sees the Prophet, and the Prophet's standing up, and he calls Effendi. And so Effendi, from the way back, has to step, you know, through all the peoples to come to the Prophet. And so, you know, and it's that feeling that to see Effendi, he could be, you know, he was a big man, but he could be so delicate and tender. And I don't know if it actually wasn't there, but I could see him in his dream trying to step so carefully, not to brusque anybody or step on anyone's toes, you know. And he said at times it seemed like he did and people would get upset, but he made his way to the Prophet himself, peace be upon him. And the Prophet said, this is my masjid, he said, clean it. Clean my masjid. Do you know what that means?
Wow.
Yeah.
St. Francis received a similar mission from Hazrat Isa. It was amazing. After hearing that dream, and then, I don't know, was it years later, I came across a dream in which St. Francis told this dream of his, in which Hazrat Isa said to him, alayhi salam, clean my church, you know. So you realize some
which,
of the stature of Effendi.
Which he did.
Absolutely. You know, you can go to Jesus through St. Francis. It's a pure, pure lineage. And the same thing. You can go to the Prophet and go to Allah through Sheikh Muzaffar. And it's pure. But, you know, alhamdulillah. So, mashallah. We have to make our fatihas for Effendi and Noor and their, mashallah, their resplendence and utter... simply the divine resplendence, that's what it is. It's Allah in all these magnificent beings from the super heart of them all. Al Fatiha, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Maliki Yawm al-Din Iyyaka Na'budu wa Iyyaka Nasta'in Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim Sirat al-Ladina An'amta Alayhim Ghayru al-Maghdubi Alayhim Walad-Dallin Amin. Amin. So Sheikh Noor, you know, a master of essence, and he always, he loved the essence, and he spoke the word essence and pointed to it. And yet, you know, what he discovered is that the essence is love. I mean, that, I think that's what he really found in his lifetime. And Muzaffar Effendi, a master of essence, you know, more clothed in so many divine attributes, but essentially a master of essence. And he's the one who told Noor, you know, in... It was in the 155 Mercer Street, and we were sitting on the rug in the back room, and he said to Noor, he said, you know, you've become so sweet, you've become like honey, he said. Now, go from the names to the one named, you know, and it was that's it. So maybe that was the transmission at that moment of, you know, the path of essence to Noor and to us. Yeah. Alhamdulillah.
One thing I'd like to share with the community, Sheikha was just talking about how much Sheikh Noor loved the Quran. And I have to say, one of the most amazing things, beautiful things, really, in terms of present experiences this Ramadan, is to come here and see the Quran being recited. And, you know, I'll look at Sheikha, and she's just basking in the Quran, and as if it's her lifeblood. It's been
life-giving.
And I think to myself, like,
today,
you know, I don't think I've ever seen anyone with as much love for the Quran as I see in Sheikha those moments. And, you know, I was blessed to grow up and see people that were hafizes, that were Quran, that had memorized the Quran in their heart, and were, you know, sheikhs and whatnot, but I don't think I've seen anyone with as much love for the Quran.
That's so sweet. I mean, that's your eyes, the Muhsin's eyes. Alhamdulillah. I mean, how can I not accept
such
a... You know,
Sheikha makes this prayer afterwards. I don't know if you're close enough to her to hear, but after, you know, so many times when the Quran ends, she makes this prayer, you know, Allah, make the Quran the wellspring of our lives and make it so dear to us. And
that's the Prophet's prayer.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, we have a living example to see.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, mashallah. Yeah. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, let's revive more of Effendi's Ilahis and sing those.